All right. Good morning, everybody. We all survived the snowfall. We made it. We're back into our study of Cain, so if we want to open up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, we can continue on. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And today we're going to talk about this offering that Cain brings, and what it means in this way of Cain. But let's open up in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just come together, gather around your word, to be instructed by it, to have it feed our spiritual man, strengthen us, to encourage us, to enlighten the hope in the way that you have set before us, to show us your love and your mercy, and how you displayed your great care for us at the cross when Jesus Christ came and took on the form of a man and died for our sins. In your name, amen. Last week we made it to James, so why don't we turn over to James. Jude. Jude, verse 4. Now, we've been studying Cain and Abel, trying to go over what the real sense of the story was. And it's just funny, last week when I got done teaching, my son came up, we were talking in the car home, and he said just that prior week in his history class, his history teacher was talking about Cain and Abel and the analogies that can be made in literature to that story. And he said it's the story of, in the history teacher told the class, it's the story between good and bad. And that's exactly what we've been trying to show here, how it's not a story between, you know, Cain the evil brother and Abel the good brother. We've taken a long time to get through some of this, that it's a story between a faithful and an unfaithful man. And as we're going to see, it's going to be the story of two ways to approach God. And how do you approach God is really what the story is about. And we made it to Jude chapter, verse 4. And there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see here, Jude's talking to the little flock and he's warning them, you have these people in your midst that have crept in unaware. And we talked about that a little bit last week, how these people who follow Cain, these priests, these pharisaical religious people, they put on a show of the flesh so they look good on the outside. And Jude's writing this little flock to warn them to look out for them. Verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil dignities. And you get dropped down to verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in a gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity. For when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without waters. You see how these guys are in their midst? These guys who are following Cain aren't at the neighborhood pub. You're not going to find them gambling in Las Vegas. No, they're in their midst. They're part of they're part of the little flock. And Jude writes the little flock and he's telling them, you got to find these guys and point them out and get rid of them, because there are spots in your feast. And these guys are following something that the Lord calls the way of Cain. And it's interesting, I put this chart up here. If you have Adam back here, and he has Cain, and you have the flood, something that Cain started, the firstborn of Adam, continues through the flood all the way up to the tribulation period. It's fascinating how Cain starts out in Genesis and you don't hear about him until Jude.
for 1 John also.
But until the tribulation. And the way that Cain sets is still being followed even up to the last days. And we've spent time and we've talked about how Cain is a Pharisee. And what Cain does, he's going to establish another way to approach God. So let's look at this. What is this way? The way of Cain. You know, turn over to, let me just show you this first real quick. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. The Bible talks about two ways in the Bible. In Matthew 7. Verse 13. When Jesus Christ is speaking with his disciples here, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus Christ talks about there's two ways. And one way, in verse 13, leadeth to destruction. This way leads to destruction. The other way leads to life. And it's fascinating how he calls one of the ways is wide. It's like a freeway, because so many people are using it. Verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. This way that leads to destruction is wide. Okay? But narrow, verse 13, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Now, you might look at this and say, well, what Christ is pointing out is that in order to gain eternal life, you're going to have to go through a lot of hardships. And it's really hard to get because the way is narrow. Okay? And in order to gain eternal life, you're going to have to just sort of stumble and hopefully you can climb all the obstacles in this narrow way. But that's not what it's saying. Okay, think of it this way. If you want to get to Chicago, if everybody wants to go to Chicago, what do they build to get people into Chicago? Freeways, expressways. You know why they build expressways? Because a lot of people want to go that way. So they build a really... So the road into Chicago becomes... As more and more people travel that road into Chicago, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. What Christ is saying is that there's so few people following the way to life that there's not an expressway. It's more like a trail, because so few people are following it. That's why it's narrow. It's not narrow because God made it narrow and unaccessible to people. It's narrow because there's hardly anybody traveling in it. You ever go walking? We went to Colorado last year, and you take these paths through the mountains or woods and whatever, and these trails. And sometimes these trails are very narrow, and they're very... windy, and you know, they're just narrow and sort of hard to follow. But when you get on a main path where there's a lot of people, everything's trampled and they're very easy to follow. You know why? Because everybody's following the main path. But it's the narrow way that no one's on. That's why it's called the narrow way. Really, this way should be the wide way. But no one wants to follow it. So he calls this other way of destruction wide because there's millions and millions and millions of people marching right down it. So therefore the way is wide. This way to life is narrow because it's like it's just one little person after another. And as we start to look into the way, verses that talk about the word is a lamp unto my feet, the word is to help you on this narrow way. Find the way unto life. So when we talk about the way of Cain, remember this. The way of Cain, he was the first to walk in this wide way that leads to destruction. is who he was. He set the way. Turn over to Psalms chapter 1. Let's look at some verses that describe this way. Psalms chapter 1. This way of Cain. Psalms chapter 1, verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of righteousness, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, there's only two ways in the Bible. There's the way of righteousness and the way of the ungodly. Remember in Jude, he called these men ungodly men? Because they're following a way of Cain, which leads to destruction, and they shall perish. Verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of righteousness. If you want to follow the way into life, who are you going to have to go to learn the way? You have to go to the Lord. He's the one that knows the way. But people don't want to go there. They don't want to have His knowledge. They want to try and find it on their own. It's like if you want to get a map on how to have eternal life, you have to go to the person who knows the way, who's been there before. You have to go to the Lord. Turn over to Psalms 85, chapter 85, verse 13. 85:13. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. This way was created by the Lord. He walked it for us, and he set the way, and now it is up to us to follow him. And he sets the scriptures before us in order that we may understand where our steps should be, and we can find this way of life. Psalms 119. Psalms chapter 119. And what we're going to see is that a lot of the Psalms and a lot of the Proverbs, they're usually two sides to the Psalms or to the proverb, a good side and a bad side. There's usually some positive and some negative. It's because he's contrasting the two ways. In Psalms chapter 119, we could take the hour and just read this whole chapter. The whole chapter is talking about these ways. Verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And we're going to find out that initially God gives the law. And the law was to lead you to life by following it. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. You see how he's opening? He's saying, there's a way here that only comes from the Lord. And that your ways need to be his way. Because if you decide to not follow the narrow, and you decide to go join the crowd, because they got more people with them, and they got a livelier band, and they got a great procession, you won't be following the way that the Lord sets. Let's go to verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto to thy word. You see, the word of God is given in order that we may find the way and order our steps after the way. That's why you study the scriptures. That's why the scriptures were very important for all of mankind from all of eternity, from history past till today. Because they're to order your way. Drop down to verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Isn't that fascinating? the heart that this man has when he thinks about the Lord and he thinks about the commandments he's received, and he understands that by following the way that the Lord has set, he will gain something. Righteousness and life. That's something that we all should desire. And we all do. But how are you going to get there is the question that you have to answer for yourself. What way are you going to take to get righteous? Is really what it all boils down to. There's two ways. There's a way that the Lord sets, and He says, the Lord says, I know the way. You better come to me and you better follow what I say. Because I will lead thee unto righteousness. Or there's a way that the world says, and this is a way that Cain started, where they're going to do it on their own. Drop down to verse 27. Make me to understand the way of the precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthenest thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of the lying, and grant me the law, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have chosen the way of truth. We're going to go over and look at a verse in a few minutes in John. The Lord is the what? When Jesus Christ describes himself, He is the truth. You want to follow the way of the Lord? You need to follow the Lord. Because that's who He is. And He sets the way, and it's a way of truth. In verse 29, He says, remove me from the way of lying. Don't let me fall into this way that seems enticing. Verse 3, but I have chosen the way of truth. You see, isn't it wonderful that God lets us choose? God doesn't choose you to be saved and you to be damned. God doesn't choose what path you're going to take. He allows us to make that choice. Which path, which way are you going to follow? Verse 3, for I have chosen the way of truth. I will, verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. He's going to keep it all the way to life. He was going to follow the Lord all the way unto the end. Verse 37, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. He knows there's strength given by the Lord for the way. There's provision that He provides for us on the way. It's not something we just have to do on our own. He looks to the Lord for light, and quickeneth thou me in thy way. Drop down to verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. You see them? What's that word? The comparison between the two ways that he's making here. This whole chapter is about one way or the other. And he hates the false way because he knows where it leads to. And this is really important for us to understand. You must learn to hate the false way. Because when you hate this false way, and then when it appears, and you get tempted to go into that, you'll reject it because you'll know where it leads to destruction. Therefore, you harden yourself against it. And you turn and you love the Lord for the way of truth that He's given to you. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see what that verse means now? how it's lighting the way of the Lord is what the word is designed to do. It's designed to light this path unto life for you. That's why he loves his commandments and his statutes. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jump down to verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. See, he says, I esteem everything that you've said to be right. I don't argue with you, Lord. When you say something, I just assume it's right because you are God. He doesn't argue with them. When God says something, he doesn't say, well, I don't know if I want to do that. He doesn't try and come up with another way. He says, everything you say is right. And I hate every false way. This way of Cain should be hated by us. To be hated by you. That's why it's important for us to understand what it is. Because if you don't know what it is, you'll find yourself walking down arm in arm with the millions of other people walking down the way of Cain. And you're better walking single file through the trail of the way of the Lord, using the Word to guide your steps. That's why, remember when he gave the law to Moses, he says, don't turn to the left or to the right from the law. Just keep walking the way the law says, and don't turn this way, and don't turn the other way, because those will lead you to destruction. You have to understand this. You have to think about this in your life. What way are you following? Where are you going? You just don't get out of bed every day and think, just nothing's going to... I mean, we all make choices. What's your choice? And here, he learned to love truth, to love the law, because he knew it led to righteousness. And he learned to hate. And when you learn to hate the false way, you start looking for things that would bring you over there to avoid those things. And every person makes a choice which way they're going to go. That's why it's important. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. You see, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You see, God not only lights the way, but then he gives you reproofs. So when you start to think, oh, this might be better, he reproves you. And he says, to bring you back. When Cain brought the offering of the fruit of the ground, the Lord reproved him. He says, I don't have respect unto that Cain, but there's still time to bring something out. There's still time to bring the right thing. He reproved, and that reproof was designed to allow Cain to correct his course, to correct his way, to change the way he was on. The scriptures are given to help those. See, God's just not a taskmaster who just chastises people for the fun of it. There were reasons for it. To bring them back to the way of life. Chapter 10, verse 17. Chapter 10, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuseth reproof erreth. Cain refused the reproof of God. He made a bad error in judgment. God reproved Cain at that altar, and Cain said, nope, God's intention was to bring Cain along, to show him the error of his way, and to show him that the way of the Lord is where truth and life and righteousness is found. And Cain was reproved, but Cain did what? He rejected the reproof of God. Verse 17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. See, the Lord's a wonderful, gracious God. He's made provision for us. He's done so many wonderful things that he not only sets the way, but he's put things, he's designed things so that way, if you get off that way and you start being looking at other things, there's reproofs and corrections that are designed there to force you back, to prick your heart, to cause you to think, I might be going the wrong way. He's taking care of everything for us. But continue on. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12. But the reason these guys follow the wrong ways in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You see, these guys who followed the way of Cain, and Cain was the first who started, Cain thought he was wiser than God. Cain thought he was right. Cain said, my way is the way. And in the face of reproof by God himself, he still says, no, my way is the way it's going to be. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Proverbs 3, verse 7. He tells us, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see, Cain developed a wisdom that he thought was right. He thought he was wise and that he would gain righteousness through his own way. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. See, it was through the heart of Cain that he devised his own way. And what do we know about the heart of man? The heart of man is deceitfully evil, wicked. Who can know it? It's so bad, you can't even understand your own, the wickedness that you're capable of. But this way that Cain sets out, that the whole world follows after, was set out by his evil heart. And in his foolish pride, he thinks he's wise, and he's going to make his own right way unto righteousness, is what he does. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You see how in the Proverbs, there's always that comparison? Turn over to chapter, verse 25, same book, same chapter, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction. What? What did I say? Oh, death. That's why you have your own Bible, so you can read them. So when I get a word mixed up, you'll know. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This way that man thinks is right, this way, you see, this way is religious. People think they're going to be right. They're righteous. They're going to be good. They're going to be rewarded at the end of this way. They think they're right.
That's why you have to have the scriptures to come along and to tell you there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What did we read when we first started this? That, what was it? What did I read that? Oh, well. It's the Lord that knoweth the way. But there's a way that man thinks is right. So there's two ways in Scripture. There's the way of righteousness, which the Lord sets, or there's the way of the ungodly, which man's heart sets. And this way of the ungodly is wide, because many people follow it. The way of the Lord unto righteousness is narrow, because unfortunately, not many people are going down it. Because unfortunately, most people only think about themselves and how they're going to get to heaven. And they think, I don't need the Lord because I'm going to order my own steps. It's exactly what Cain did. Cain was the first to walk down this path. And he sets the markers up for everybody else to follow. Is what he does. And everybody follows. Because everybody follows their own imaginations of their hearts. Turn over to Isaiah 40. You see why he writes here in Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Here comes the Lord. Here's his way. Turn over to Matthew 3. Matthew 3, chapter 3. We see at the birth of Christ, Matthew 3, 3. This is John the Baptist. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The Lord is here. He's leading us on the way of righteousness and life. Follow him. And John the Baptist points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, you must follow him if you want righteousness. If you want to know the path, you have to follow Christ. You must be baptized and believe that he's the Messiah. And when you do those things, you're on that path. And not many people followed the Baptists. Not many people listened. They listened to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were able to turn the people from the path of life unto the path of death. That's why in Jude, he takes so much time in that little book to point out these guys, because these guys are the ones that lead you to destruction and death. But when Christ comes, John the Baptist points to him and he says, that's the way. Follow him. Follow him. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 32. Matthew 21:32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe on him. You see, he's talking here, and he says, when John the Baptist came, he came unto you in the way of righteousness. You see that word, the way of righteousness? That was what John the Baptist preached. And ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards. There was John the Baptist, he spoke and he preached, and that was to provide reproof and instruction to those around them to cause them to repent of the way they were on. Like we read in Psalms and Proverbs, how God gives reproof to you and to try and cause them to come back to the way of life. the end of 32. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward. See, God was gracious, and God's gracious all the time. He was even gracious when John the Baptist was preaching. One of the aspects of that was to cause those around him to repent, to change their way. But they didn't. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. See, when Christ says here, verse 6, this verse should have hopefully more meaning. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see that? He is the way, the truth, and the life. All those passages we just read that talk about the way and how there's truth in the way and how it brings you unto life, they all wrapped up in Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the only way you get to the life is through Him. It's through Him. And when we get to, it won't be this week, but it's going to be next week, when we talk about the door that when Cain offers and it's rejected and God says to him, sin lies at the door, that door is going to turn out to be Jesus Christ Himself. And there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's going through that door, and that's going through Jesus Christ. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me, He says. That's why when He was born, He said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Here He is, John the Baptist. Follow Him if you want righteousness. Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's who He is. If you want to get to the treasure at the end of life, you have to have a map. Christ is the map. He's the one that provides the way. He's the one that will order your steps in order to gain eternal life. Because His map is true. You ever go on a trip? I like to have, if you're going to drive from Chicago to Disneyland, okay? Let's say Disneyland's your destination. You got two atlases you can bring with you. One that is true and one that's false. Which one are you going to take? The one that will get you there. Okay? That's the same thing with life. The end that everybody wants is to be declared righteous. You were right. Well, how are you going to get there? There's two ways. There's two atlases. There's two maps you can grab to follow. There's two atlases to order your steps by. One is Jesus Christ and His Word. And the other is your heart, which you know is evil. So which one are you going to choose? But you know what? The atlas to your heart, everybody uses. So you might think, well, you're in the bookstore. This atlas that leads, designed by my heart, has sold over 10 billion copies. And this one over here, that Christ says I should follow, has only sold 100. Which one are you going to pick? These are your choices. Just because the way is wide and the people are marching down there in droves doesn't mean it's right. If all your friends and acquaintances are walking down the wrong path, that doesn't mean you go with them. You're supposed to follow the Lord because He's the one where truth and life is. That's why Bible study is important. Turn over to Acts chapter 18. So we saw here already how the way has been established since Abel. Then God puts the law in and He tells His people to keep the way, you got to follow the law. And John the Baptist comes along and he says to keep the way, you got to be baptized and understand that Christ is your Messiah. There's righteousness. Christ comes along and he says, you got to follow me because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when we get to Acts chapter 18, verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Apollos shows up. He's mighty in the scriptures. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. See how Apollos shows up? And he's mighty in the scriptures. He's been ordering his steps perfectly. He's been following the way of life. And God, along this way of life, has had signposts. This is what you must do to keep following the way. And the one signpost was, keep the law. And another signpost was, follow what John the Baptist says. Another signpost was, here's Jesus Christ, your Messiah. And Apollos comes and he's been understanding the way of the Lord. He's been on this right path. And he's gotten to the signpost of John the Baptist. And look at what he's doing. Verse 25 again. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he spake boldly in the synagogue. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Awesome. You catch that? This guy, Apollos, has been on the way of life. He's been following the signposts that God has set up. He's gotten to the signpost of John the Baptist. But you know what? There's been some... God has given another signpost on that way called the mystery. The dispensation of grace, which he gave to Paul. And these Aquila and Priscilla had heard. They heard Apollos speaking. They knew he was a man following the Lord. They knew he was preaching the way. But they also knew that they needed to explain something to him because, at the end of 26, they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You have people stuck in the Gospels. They think that's... If they get to John the Baptist, that's it. That's not it. There is a more perfect way. You want to keep ordering your steps along the path of life and righteousness, following the Lord? Well, then you must understand Pauline truth. Because without it, you've come to a stop sign. You're stuck. And expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. How many people tell you guys, oh, you make too much of Paul? Why are you always talking about Paul? No, because Paul was the one that Christ gave the way of God in order to design it so it's more perfect. There's more to be added. It's not that you're making much about Paul. You're making much about the way of God. That's what you're doing. Because he's designed it more perfectly for you. You don't want to get stuck at the baptism of John thinking you need to be water baptized because that's not for you anymore. If you want to walk the way of life today, you have to walk it according to the signs that God has given us. And today the sign is through Paul. It's by belief in what Jesus Christ's blood accomplished for you at the cross, and that alone gets you saved. That's the way of God expounded more perfectly. You start mixing in water baptism. You start mixing in having to keep the law. Yeah, those things were true back then, but they're not true today. You have to understand the way of God more perfectly. And you try and go back into the Old Testament, you try and go back and follow the way that was set for the Jewish nation, you can't keep it because that way isn't in operation anymore. There's a new way. The way has been described more perfectly. and it's through Paul's writings. And it's the dispensation of grace. And when you come to the dispensation of grace, you understand it's no more by water baptism. It's no more by keeping the law and offering the blood sacrifices. It's by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And it's through Paul who describes the way of God more perfectly, because he's now able to take Jesus Christ and his death and display it for what it accomplished for us. And what that should do, that should have been like a big beacon that went on that illuminates this way. Because now that death brings us life. So in verse 26 in Acts chapter 18, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard. You know, they weren't, you know, sometimes, you know, we hear other ministers and they're preaching the gospel. Think, oh, well, good, at least they're in the gospels. But Aquila and Priscilla weren't happy with that. They were like, they could have sat there and said, well, he's somewhat right, he's okay. I guess we can bear with him. No, they get up. When they had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. How wonderful. And Apollos takes their instruction and he starts teaching the way of God according to the dispensation of grace. This way of the Lord is something you have to understand. Because it's the way of life for yourself. Which road are you on? Which way are you going, passing through life on? Are you going through with all your religious friends? Some of us here have come out of families that the whole family was religious, but the whole family was on the wrong path. And some point in your life, you realize, hey, this isn't where I want to be. There's a better way. And you've made the choice to leave. You might have had family around you or relatives or friends that tried to keep you from leaving. But you made the choice because you knew this path that was wide only led to destruction. And really what should be happening, people should be running to the Lord. This path that the Lord describes as narrow should be the wide one. The other path should have expired when Cain died. Would have been nice. But we know it didn't. And Cain was the first to set this wide path. You see, this is the verse I was trying to get to today. I don't think we're going to get to it. We're going to talk about the way of Cain. Now, we haven't really said, well, we sort of have, but this is it, Romans chapter 10, verse 2. If you want to know what the way of Cain is and what he did, turn to Romans chapter 10. Mike just went over this on Wednesday night, so sort of help get it in your minds. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The way of the world, the way of man's heart, is going about to establish their own righteousness. That's what this wide, evil way that Cain started is all about. Man being self-righteous. How many times do you puff yourself up and think you're somebody? That's because you're being self-righteous. That's the way of Cain. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Oh, Cain had a zeal towards God. And when we next week we're going to get into his offering and what happens there. But he had a zeal towards, his life was towards God. He gave his life over to that, towards pleasing him. But he was going to please him in his own self righteousness. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own. That's what Cain did. He established his own righteousness. That's why it's called the way of Cain. Because all who follow it are establishing their own righteousness. And we've seen the right way is the way of truth and life, and it brings righteousness. But a righteousness that's not dependent on you, it's a righteousness that comes from God. The ungodly way is a righteousness that you try and develop within your own heart. And the reason you're trying to do that is so you can get through the door into heaven. So when we talk about the way of Cain, we've seen that there's two ways in scriptures. Just like there's two generations. There's a righteous one and an evil one. And the way of the Lord has signposts along it. And our signpost for the way of the Lord today is given us through Paul in the dispensation of grace. But the signposts that Cain left behind him are self-righteousness. You can do it. You can be good enough. Try hard enough, and you'll be accepted. So next time we meet, we're going to get into this chapter 10, verse 2, and get on from there into some of the other things about Cain. But why don't we close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for shining the light of truth onto the way. You didn't just leave man to wander around, to sort of grope in the darkness for eternal life. But you gave us your word and you direct our steps. And that today in the age of grace, we understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And that his death and his blood that was shed to cover our sins. And that when we put our faith in him, you declare us righteous. Not on anything that we do, but because of the work that Jesus Christ did. And as we go out, may we expound the way of God unto those around us. And draw them from the way of wickedness. And draw them from their own heart's desires unto yours. In your name, amen.